रहे रात दिन हर घड़ी दोनों हमदम घड़ी दोनों हमदम।
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning on our program The Bliss of Marriage. Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia is the name. Haji Suleiman Esop is his name. He's my engineer this beautiful Wednesday morning. He will be with me from now till 12-ish. I don't know if I should say he is the man in black this Wednesday morning. I see you dress fully black. Oh, I see he's got a gray kurta. I don't know why he's wearing a jersey. It's not hot, Haji Suleiman Esop. No, you see, Malala, it's cold, it's brr. No, it's a beautiful morning here in Johannesburg. Well, my wonderful listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. +27 84 786 3132. Just a quick reminder to our wonderful listeners that tomorrow night will be part two of why our marriages are falling apart with myself, Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim, and of course our guest Brian Blam. So inshallah tomorrow will be part two and we will conclude. So inshallah, if there are listeners who are having problems in their marriages, you just need to tune in tomorrow night between 9 to 10. Inshallah. Yes, let's welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Remember, today is the 28th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1444. We're coming to the end of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1444, corresponding to the 23rd of November, 2022. I hope our listeners are in a good mood this morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. I want to welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, who has just walked in now. So I know everybody waits for the... I've got one, two listeners from overseas. Please send me Mufti's Q&A. Which one are you talking about? Hayazi. Is it this morning? Hayazi. It's Monday night. Hayazi. Ustad, it's a beautiful morning. Welcome to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ustad, many listeners want your Q&A, so I don't know which one they're referring to, so how do they get it, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and then we pray, and the barakah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we thank our capital group and Radio Ansar International Sirius FM. MashaAllah, then more and more people are benefiting from the programs. So if you want the Q&A and so forth, just send me a message, a WhatsApp message, 071-888-1184, or if you're overseas, +27 71 888 1184, and say you want the Sunday one, Monday one, which one you want, and we'll send it to you, inshallah, Aziz.
Somebody says, I have a question that a lot of people are going through, but yet afraid to ask. Why is it so difficult to get help in a marriage with a Maulana's alim son, Ustad? The parents of the son are constantly in denial about their son, his behavior, abuse, and addictions. No matter how much as a wife I try to help him, he denies Mufti Sahab and puts all the blame on me. My marriage is at the end, and I have two kids, Mufti Sahab. I feel I want to have my family complete for the kid's sake. At the same time, I feel I don't deserve a life like this. Please help me, Mufti Sahib Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is a reality, whether it's a Mawlana's son or Mawlana's daughter or Muslims. We can't say everybody, obviously that's wrong, you can't paint everybody with the same brush. But we can say in many, many cases, and whether it's Mawlana or not, people live in denial and don't want to accept it. You tell them your son is on drugs, you tell them your daughter is having an affair, and so forth and so on. And then some of them will tell you what exactly the Quran Sharif speaks about. And when it is told to them, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, when it is told to them that fear Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ, their pride gets the better of them and they want to continue with that, you know, vices and sins. So that pride makes them continue with the kufr and shirk for the non-Muslims and for the Muslim with the vices and sins. So for hasbu jahannam, and then they land up in jahannam, hellfire will be their place and is sufficient for them. وَلَا بِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ, what a terrible place that is. So remember, this is enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 2, verse number 206. So they will tell you, in our terminology, it's not your business. Dad, get out from here, and so forth. So remember, we must not worry about people. Our function and our duty is amal bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, to keep on commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till the age of 40, the most beloved, the most, you know, precious to all the people, to Allah was, is, will always be, but by the people. And remember, the mahbub, the most beloved, everything. Because why? The Master alayhi salam is salih, is ameen, is sadiq, all that. But the time the revelation comes and brings about the biggest revolution, so remember then you find that big problems come about. And what is the big problem? That leads to a revolution. Father and son, parents and children against one another. Then the derogatory remarks they made, unsavory comments against Nabi alayhi salam, that he is a shair, a poet, he's a sahir, a magician, he is kathib and liar, Allah forbid, or he is majnoon and insane, Allah forbid. So all these things there, but eventually the truth will be prevail always. So that is the system of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Somebody says, Ustad, that is it permissible for a Muslim girl, although none of it is being shown to the public, nor is it being done for fashion trends, it is being done just for oneself. Allah knows my intention. To have a belly ring, Ustad.
Totally haram it is. Remember this, whether it's a belly ring or whether it's this ring and that ring, all this is imitating, emulating the non-Muslim culture. And Almighty Allah states in Surah 5, verse 51, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ, whosoever befriends them, whosoever loves their way, you become part and parcel of them. So in a case like that, remember that Almighty Allah will raise that person with non-Muslims. When you love this, مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَوَ مِنْهُمْ, who increases the numbers of the non-Muslims and enemies of Islam, you become part and parcel of them. So the hadith in Musnad Abi Awana, مَنْ تَشَبَّى بِقَوْمٍ فَوَ مِنْهُمْ, who imitates a people is part and parcel of them, the hadith in Abu Dawood. And belly ring and this ring and that ring, you see that today they're speaking about transgender. So Quran spoke of all these issues more than 1400 years ago. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse 119, وَلَا آمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ, I will command them, the Satan Lucifer said, and they will change the creation of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So we must be very, very clear on all these issues. Yeah, what are we Muslims supposed to do? Alayna an nu'athir wa la nata'athir. We supposed to influence them, not get influenced by them. And that is the tragedy of the Ummah today. You see in the World Cup, you see everywhere this, that Muslims want to imitate the trend set by the non-Muslims. No, we supposed to be the one to influence them, not the other way around.
SubhanAllah. Somebody says, your Ustad, that please, Mufti Saab, both of them are listening. And Mufti Saab, please think before Mufti Saab answer. Can two wives live in the same house? As I can't afford a separate house for my second wife. I am renting. Ustad, anonymous brother.
So there's nothing to think about. You had to think, my brother. Quran's Kareem states, Surah 4, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So if you feared you can't do justice, then you should have stayed with one wife. So that is your problem now. So before getting married to the second one, you should have thought, where's your brains? So you must remember that. So you must have justice between them. And both of them are entitled to their own houses, their own places, and so forth. So now you are married to them, so what will we advise you? And you say you're renting. So I'm even surprised the second one accepted it when she knows all these type of things. Therefore, I tell you, today, 80% of the time, the Muslim husband, they're not fair and just to their wives when they have two, three, four wives. And that's a major, major sin. Anyway, so what will be our guidelines, directives to you in a bad and horrible situation? That in that house of yours, you must make separate bedroom, separate kitchen, separate bathroom. So under that same one roof, she must have her privacy, and the other one must have privacy. And then you make one night, one week, whatever the arrangement is. So that is the minimum requirement, that you give them each their separate bedrooms, you give them each their separate bathroom, separate kitchen, and so that will be minimum. So you are the one who have to think, brother. Not we. For us, we're thinking all the time, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So you are the guilty one, and you want us to feel guilty.
I see somebody says, I am a single mother to two children. There is a family friend, Mufti Saab, who has indicated that he would like to take me on as a second wife and look after my children and I. He is a good, pious man who will treat us well, inshallah. However, Mufti Saab, his wife disapproves, stating that she will not accept it. He is saddened by not being able to fulfill his wish. I also feel disappointed. What kind of advice can you offer me in this regard, Ustad?
You to blame for all these things here. So you must remember, for what you want to entertain him and go and disrupt another person's marriage and so forth. So you just forget him, cut off all ties with him. You're communicating with one another is all haram and so forth. And what his wife did is 100% correct. So why must he be responsible for your children and all that? He got no business to be looking after your children and neglecting his wife or neglecting his own biological children. So you must get married to somebody who will take you as his wife and not second wife, third wife. They will just use you and then they'll dump you. So remember, that is all very easy in the starting to say they will look after you and your two children. After 2 months, 6 months, they'll tell you, you know what, you can go ask any Maulana, any Mufti, any Alim, these daughters, children of yours are not my responsibility and so forth. What you will do then? So, and it's true, it's not his responsibility or any husband's responsibility. Where's the father of the children? So he's responsible for them and not your new husband or so forth. And never go as a second wife. That is my advice to you. And this person here in question, remember, you and him, all the talking and sending messages, all haram. You must make sincere tawbah and cut off the relationship immediately.
The sister says, but my child needs a father, Ustad, and he's very pious.
So you must remember, you can't get married to him because his first wife will leave him. End of the story. Finish now.
Explain why wudu, Ustad, is not complete with nail polish. My husband likes it, Ustad, anonymous sister.
So you must do what Allah Ta'ala likes and what Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commanded us, not what people like and trample upon the Sharia. When you put nail polish, you think water goes through. It doesn't go through. So if water doesn't seep through, nor is your wudu valid, nor is your ghusl valid, nor is your salat valid. So nothing is valid. So you go straight to Jahannam. Then Quran says, ما سلككم في سقر Why do you walk straight away into Jahannam and the hellfire? First thing they will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسْوَلِّينَ, that we never read Salat and never should perform Salat and so forth. So that is what we must understand. Our first allegiance is to Almighty Allah, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Islam in its totality, then to a husband and wife and parents and children and so forth and so on. And anytime the husband or the wife or any person, parents, tell us to do something but is in conflict with the Sharia, then the golden maxim and teaching of Islam is, as mentioned in Mishkat Sharif Ibn Majah, La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asiyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it leads to a sin against the Creator.
Somebody says, your Ustad, they would like to remain anonymous. I am from India. My husband is only child. My mother-in-law treats me very bad. She hits me, swears at me. My doctor says I should lay a charge, but I'm scared. I don't have family here, Mufti Saab. My mother is a widow. She took my passport, and she threatens to take away my child if I lay a case. My husband is only child, and he don't have power against his mother. Even the domestic helpers, they run away from her. Ustad, anonymous.
So in a case like that, jab wo aapki saas aapko marti hai, piti hai, wagera, to zarur police walo ke paas jana chahiye. Agar aapke shohar bhi aap tumhara haath uthaye, to mera mashura to hamesha ye hai. Hum maulvi log, ulama, jamiyat kya kar sakte? Kuch bhi nahi kar sakte hai. Aur jahan tak ye mamla hai, unon ke paas aapke passport hai, wagera jo hai, to sab kuch jaakar police walo ko bata de ke ye sab zulm kar rahe hai wagera. Ye thori koi Islam hai ke bas shohar ya inki walida aapki saas jo hai wo marte rehte aur aap bas qabool karte rahe. Ye thori koi Islam hai aur insaaf hai. So the story here is that this daughter-in-law is from India, and this guy she's married to is the only son. So he is now, he feels that he can't say anything to his mother. So the lady from India, her mother-in-law is assaulting her daily or every second day, third day. Now she's terrified because they told her that they'll take the child away from her and so forth and so on. So remember, I'm telling her she must go to the police station and lay a charge of assault and so forth and tell them the whole story. Her passport, everything they confiscated. You can't be staying in such a house where the husband is a baila. He can't speak one word. He can see the zulm oppression that his mother is doing against his wife, but he just opts for silence and makes like he never saw anything. Obviously, that is not on. We must treat everybody as our daughter. And yeah, what is happening, definitely unacceptable. According to what has been told to us and what we are informed about.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see somebody says, Mufti Saab, does a wife have to be paid if she's a housewife? Ustad,
remember this, when a husband and wife, now your nikah, everything is performed. So at that time you paid her mahar, whether it was a gold coin, and whether 20,000 rand, 2,000 rand, 5,000 rand, whatever the case might be. So in a case like that, you must remember, so what you're supposed to do now, after that. So as a husband, Quran Kareem states, Surah 4 verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, treat your wives with love, with respect, with dignity and honor and so forth. How you want your daughter-in-law, how you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, how you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, treat your wife in a better manner than that. Then you can say you're doing a good job. Otherwise, remember, you look for loopholes everywhere. So Islam will say all the expenses on you. Roti, kapra, makan, the shelter, clothing, food, medication, everything. Then Islam will tell you beyond that, that every week, every month, give your wife jeb kharch. Jeb kharch, pocket money. And when you give her that, don't go and tell her that bring slip for everything. I gave you 1,000 rand. Now show me that where you spent it, what you did, does that. You also must keep it with big heart and so forth. Not be a makki juice and a kanjus and so miserly and stingy. So remember, that is what Islam is teaching us. But to give that pocket money, and that is not compulsory, but it's an akhlaqi farz. It is a moral obligation upon the husband.
Somebody says a lady was recently married to a man who has three big boys, ages 19 to 25, Ustad. The boys are in drugs. They have beaten her on occasions. Her mother-in-law is also influences the boys to walk into her room and break her locks. The father does not know which way to see, and the lady he married is only 29 years old. What should she do, Ustad? She's emotionally drained. She goes to her mother's house during day and returns to husband's house at night, Ustad.
Obviously, all these cases of violence, whether the violence comes from the husband, whether it comes from his children, the sons in this situation, or whether it comes from her, the wife's mother-in-law, like the previous question. So all these cases, the answer will remain the same. You must not accept it, especially when it is on an ongoing basis, almost every day, every week. You must go to the police and lay a charge of assault and gender violence, and you must tell them how serious it is and so forth. These chefs must go to jail, remember that. There's no Maulana and Imam and Sheikh and Mufti can help you, because we only have consultative power. We can give advice. What more we can do? Nothing else. We can't go punish people, and we can't go send people to jail and imprison them and so forth. So therefore, I'm telling you, don't waste your time with the ulama in these cases. Go you straight to the police and you charge them for assault and, you know, grievous assault, and you can add many other charges, and in that way there they need to lock him up, and when they panel beat them there properly in jail, then things will come right, inshallah.
Someone wants to know what's the fatwa on this, Ustad. A man has married a rivet. As a few years have passed on, an incident took place where this rivet wife was in a drunken state, Ustad. Upon that, there was an argument between husband and wife, in that the wife stated that she is not a Muslim. So the Islamic rules of the husband does not apply to her. Ustad Anonymous?
In a case like this, where you married that lady, before the nikah, she was Muslim already, and then Allah alone knows what happened, in a moment of weakness, madness, remember, she was drunk and all that, intoxicated, and then the husband was furious. Obviously, you should be furious, and then she said she's not Muslim, she's Christian, Hindu, whatever. So in a case like that, remember, your nikah will be broken, and what you must do is tell her to make tawbah, repent sincerely, reread the kalima, and re-perform your nikah, and then things will be okay if you want to reconcile, because you might have a child or children and so forth. But you need to explain to her that, you know, when she says that she's no more Muslim and so forth, then the hadith in Bukhari Sharif states, "Man baddala deenahu faqtulu." Whosoever changes their religion, remember that for them is the death penalty, and capital punishment will be applicable. So therefore, you need to show her, because she's a revert, she doesn't know all these things here. So you also must start ta'lim, daily ta'lim and so forth in your house, and don't go to the wrong places, to parties and all. Now you see, December is going to start. Then you will have end of the year party, you will have matric ball party, Christmas party, New Year party, satanic party, and now you also want to go, and then you blame her also. So you also will be to blame then. So you must stay away from all these haram places and haram speech. Ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas. The hadith mentioned by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, an authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, stay away from haram speech, haram places, haram, you know, action, and then you will be the most pious of people.
So, Ustad, my father died. He was remarried. We two brothers, three sisters, and his wife. How did this get divided, Ustad?
So you must remember that your stepmother, his wife, must inherit. So she will inherit 12. We are assuming that your father's parents are deceased, because you made no mention of it, right? If his parents, your dada, dadi, your paternal grandfather, grandmother alive, you must then send us a message and tell us they're alive. So we work on the assumption that they passed away already long time ago. So now this wife, this new wife, your stepmother, 12.5%. And thereafter, you must remember you are two sons, and thereafter there are three daughters. Correct like that,
three
right?
Three sisters, yes.
Yeah, three daughters it means. So in a case like that, it's straightforward. So what will happen is that the wife will get 12.5%, and each one of the daughters will get 12.5. So that's 50%, and the two sons will get 25%. But again, I'm asking you, the mayyit, the deceased, his parents are alive or they passed away, both of them?
One alive.
Yeah, you see, who's alive? You must know who's alive, the father or the mother of the deceased?
The busy typing will start.
Yeah, so then, you see, that's why it's very important that inheritance, you must give proper
information. Father.
So if the father is alive, he'll inherit 1/6. So now it changes. So remember, the wife will still get the 12.5%, and the father will get 1/6. The deceased father will get 1/6, just under 17%. And then the remainder, you will make 7 shares. Remember that, 2-2 for the sons, and 1-1 each for the 3 daughters. So that is how it will work. So 12.5% for the wife, and 1/6 for the father, just under 17%. And the residue remainder, 7 shares. 4 shares for the 2 sons, 2-2, and 3 shares for the 3 daughters. So that is how the estate will be winded up after the burial, funeral expenses, and after the debts of the deceased must be paid to the creditors immediately, no delaying. And third one, if he made wasiya to people, Muslim or non-Muslim or organization, so remember, the organization must be doing halal things, not haram things. So then it must be implemented maximum 1/3 of the net estate, and then the shares of the is.
I see the listener says, so much to be divided, Mufti Sahab. It's a bit confusing.
Very simple. You must just go to your ulama there. They can work it out for you. It's very easy.
There's a student of Deen Ustad. She's crying currently, and she says, I married a Pakistani, Mufti Sahab. Now I'm pregnant, and he has vanished. How do I report this matter, as he took all his things and left while I was at work? To a certain idiot, he did not divorce me. I should have listened to my father, Ustad.
You see, when we tell you all things, then you all think we're speaking to the jinnats, you know, and we're not speaking to you. Now, yeah, the whole story came out. The proposal came from the Pakistani guy. He tuned you up in Urdu, English, maybe a little bit fair complexion with Jamal, or maybe you thought he's very wealthy and mal and so forth, with a glib tongue, sweet tongue, you know, and you fell for his trick. Your father told you, don't get married, because we can't say all Pakistanis, that's wrong, but you'll say some of them, remember, that they're going to use you, and they got their own wives in Pakistan, another place, and so forth, and now you're sitting like this. So obviously, that you didn't listen to your father, so now this type of calamity befall you, you got no one to blame but yourself. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamities befall you, it's because of your own deeds and your own actions, your own speech. Now what line of action is there? So you, wherever you are, ABC town, XYZ, so we won't take the name of the place and so forth, you go to your jamiat, go to your local ulama, and say you're applying for a fasakh. So give them all the information you got of your husband, his cell phone number, this number, that number, bank account, whatever, and they can trace him, and then tell him that now they want to annul the marriage on the grounds that there's no maintenance, or you must remember he's ill-treating you, and so forth and so on. And what about all the expenses of the baby? He has to pay for all that. So all that can be sorted out, but first thing is that you have to now go to the ulama. If you want to forgive him, that is your prerogative. And if you want talaq, there's a second option. Third option will be fasakh. My advice to you, if you know that this guy just made you pregnant, ran away, and he, Allah alone knows, in South Africa, or gone to World Cup, or gone to Dubai, or gone to Pakistan, Allah alone knows. So just apply for a fasakh and annulment of marriage, and write down ektalak tajruba. Ektalak tajruba means one bitter experience in life.
I see the student of Deen says, my dad is very upset with me, Mufti Saab. I mean, but he also need to understand, this is takdir.
Ustaz. No, it's not takdir in all cases. You all are too arrogant also. So don't just blame takdir. Takdir is there. But what takdir, we got tadbir also. So you must use your brains also. When Islam told you, la nikaha illa bi waliyin, nikah is not permissible without the consent of the wali, you made zabardasti, you said, no, I must marry him. So therefore, your father is upset, and I agree with him, he must be upset. So don't come with that takdir story. I told you this is the right road to go to ABC. You say, no, you will take the alternate road. And now you go, and you fall in the car hole, the car is gone, finished, everything gone beyond repairs. Who? You can't say takdir in that case, you will say your foolishness also. So takdir is in its place, but you also to blame for being too arrogant and too proud and so forth.
One more question, Ustad. A friend of mine got married to this guy who was married before, but he divorced his wife and married my friend. They live in India. According to Indian law, Mufti Saab, remember, once a woman gets divorced, she's allowed to demand any amount of money from her husband. His first wife is demanding a large amount of money from him that he can't afford. Is it permissible for me to give them interest money to pay his first wife, Ustad?
Let's get the situation proper first. So this couple, are all of them are in India. That's how I understand it. So then he gave his first wife divorce. Now he's married to the second wife and things seem to be working out with the second wife. Now that first wife is using not the Islamic law, but the Indian law, right? And if she's Muslimah, then she must realize all that money she's going to get is all haram. It is, you must remember, enrichment through haram means. So in a case like that, what she's demanding is zulam and so forth, but they might lock you up and so forth. So yes, if somebody gives you interest and so forth, and then you pay your ex-wife that amount, so that will be permissible. But remember, for her to take it, eat and use it, all that is haram as well, because this is extortion and not permissible in Islam.
She's a Muslim who started.
Yeah, so that is haram totally, remember that.
Well, it's 21 minutes to 12. We'll go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue what? The bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Well, it's 19 minutes to 12. Let's once again, inshallah, welcome our beloved, wonderful listeners of Sirius FM. And of course, Marcus Sahaba. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. Ustad, is it permissible to award prizes to teenagers above the age of 13 for performing ibadah, Ustad?
Remember, it's not permissible. That when they're above 13, all that, they baligh and they mature and so forth. So now they won't be doing it for the love of Almighty Allah. They will be doing it, you must remember, for your so-called award and so forth. So it means when they're not going to be given that money, then they won't read Fajr Salat. When they're not given that money, they won't read Quran. So it's not permissible that. Yeah, for small children and so forth. Like how when we were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, our parents would tell us fast. We told them, okay, we keep half fast, quarter fast. Then they give you 1 rand in those days or 50 cent or whatever. So for children, it's fine. Some sort of incentive, but not for people upon whom it is compulsory. They must do it. Remember that, whether they like or they don't like. You can't say, no, that I'll reach Fajr Salat, but you must give me 100 rand. I will fast in Ramadan, but you must give me 200 rand. I will do this, which is compulsory. I'll treat my parents well, but you must give me 500 rand. So all that not permissible. It is compulsory upon you. The love of Almighty Allah, the love of Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be embedded in the hearts of the Muslim, and that should be the motivating factor.
The brother says here, but Mufti Saab, majority of the reverts to Islam are Salafis. Allah says in Surah Fatah that this deen will conquer all religions. What is Mufti Saab's response to this? Because Salafis based their aqidah and practice upon Quran and Hadith. So why are they wrong? Come on, Mufti Saab, Ustad.
Since when you know how it is the survey of the world and so forth? You never even saw 20 countries and you're telling me that the Salafis are there. So let me show you what is wrong with the Salafis. First of all, you must remember Quran Sharif, we all believe in. Which person doesn't believe in Quran? We believe in Sunnah 100%. You understand? And I'll show you how the Salafis don't believe in the Sunnah. And then third one, we believe in all the Sahaba that, remember, not like the Kuffar Shias that say that majority Shias, Sahaba are Kuffar. So therefore the Shias are Kuffar. And we all accept the Masadiru Sharia, the sources of Sharia, that is the Ijma, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Ijma and consensus of Sahaba and Qiyas and analogy. You must go to all your Salafis who you're talking about and you're trying to defend them. Ask them these 4 or 5 questions I'm posing to you now. Ask them, ABC husband gave his wife 3 talaqs. Is it 3 or is it 1? They'll tell you it's 1. Tell them the hadith in Bukhari Sharif say it's 3. Now who's practicing on Quran and who's practicing on Sunnah? 1. Number 2. Ask them, is Taraweeh Salah 20 rakats or is it, you must remember, 8 rakats or 10 rakats as the Salafis are doing now? So they'll tell you 8 rakats. Or in the Haram, they'll tell you they have 10 rakats. Since Murtad bin Shaitan is there, 20, 20, 20, 21, 20, 22. So they read 10 rakats, 10 rakats in Makkah, Medina, both places. After more than 1,000 years, 20 rakats. So you must remember, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. You must follow my way and the way of the Khulafai Rashidin. This is from time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, ijma on 20 rakats. And all 4 schools agree on it. All 4 schools agree 3 talaqs is 3. Salafis say 3 talaq is 1. They're imitating the Christians. Trinity 3 is 1 and 1 is 3. And then they reject 20 rakats. So they're rejecting the consensus of Sahaba. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you must follow my way and follow the way of the rightly guided Khulafa. So who's rejecting the hadith? 2. 3. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith. Iqra Yasin ala mautakum. Read Surah Yasin for your deceased. The hadith is mentioned on the authority of Maqil bin Yasar. Therein, remember, Musnad Ahmad, Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood. In Kitab al-Ruh, Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Rahimahullah, celebrated student, Hafiz ibn Qayyim, on page 17. I have this copy and I challenge them. And tell me if I'm quoting wrong. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal went to the graveyard cemetery. He saw a person that, reading Surah Yasin. He heard him reading. And he saw him also. He told him, don't read. Then he quoted the hadith. He said, you heard it yourself? He said, yes. He said, go and read. So, a'imma arba'a. So, once there is consensus on the 4 schools, so remember that is Sharia. Hadith authentic in Tirmidhi, La tajtami'u ummati ala dalala. This ummah will never agree and reach consensus on something that is astray. So therefore we say the Salafis are Muslim, but today's Salafis, I reiterate, today's Salafis, majority of them are dhal and mudril, they are astray and they lead other people astray. So I gave you how many examples? Your socks masla. So they just make masa on the cotton socks, on the normal socks. So according to all 4 schools, it's not permissible. Hudu is the asal, the original. And this year, masa alal khufain, they had to make masa on leather socks or synthetic or something. Not normal socks, is the exception to the rule. The exception of the rule does not become the rule. So Salafi's big problem, they don't understand fiqh, nor do they understand usulul fiqh, the principles of fiqh and so forth. They don't understand. Therefore, I challenge them on all these issues. Not one Salafi can answer it. I speak them to, they say, I ask them, Ain Allah? They say, Alal Arsh. They say, Allah is on the Arsh. So I ask them 2 things. I say that the Arsh is created. So where was Allah Ta'ala qabla al Arsh? So where is Allah Ta'ala? Where was Allah Ta'ala before the arch was created? Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. On day of Qiyamah, the arch and everything will be demolished and everything. So where is Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala himself says in Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 115, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So now answer all this. Not one Salafi can answer this. Brother, you better go back to madrasa. You're a jahil and you don't understand deen.
He says, He says, I rest my case and you will never ever message again, Ustad.
Yeah, you rest your case. I'll put you in a suitcase and send you to Israel. Just like the Jutlas. You must remember. You come talk your nonsense here.
Status of one's marriage after three talaqs, Ustad.
Totally finished. You must remember that after three talaqs, end of the story. You go by the Salafis, and there you go by organizations in Cape Town or here and there. And then you get some crooked Molvi Mufti. He will tell you, no problem. Three talaq is three. But after the iddah, then marry me for 1 hour, one day. I'll make the halala. So these type of people, we must name them and shame them. You must remember. The authentic. You lose your iman, you play with deen. لَأَنَّ اللَّهُ الْمُحَلِّلَ وَالْمُحَلَّلَ لَهُ. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the one. You must remember that who, the first husband and the second one. That Allah Ta'ala's curse is on both of them. What are you doing? You're doing so similar to what Khomeini the Kafir said, the non-Muslim. He writes in Tawdihu al-Masahil, which I have by me. They gave me the book. And in there, Khomeini writes, you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. So now you're trying to do the same thing. So you can't play with Sharia. Remember that. So three talaqs are three. And if you get reconciled and you remarry and so forth, so you know the same husband, wife, you are living in sin. And every moment Allah Ta'ala's curse is on you. And three talaq is three, the hadith in Bukhari Sharif.
Mufti Sahab, you were right. Because the question says, I remember we have two small daughters and the Sheikh in Cape Town did say, y'all can stay together for the kids' sake, Ustad.
I know them. You must remember that. I can even mention the name. That the MJC does it openly. So you must remember that. So they say three talaq is one and so forth. We reject it totally. You must remember that. It's nothing we must hide and so forth. So they left the Shafi Mazhab, Hanafi Mazhab, Maliki Mazhab, Ambali Mazhab and so forth. And so forth. So we reject it. Kain and Mankan. Our deen is not allegiance to people. Our deen is allegiance to Almighty Allah, to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to the beloved Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and we believe in the awliyaullah, and in fiqh we follow the four schools. I met Sheikh Albani myself. Very few of the Salafis here in South Africa that met him. So I have his books, everything, but on many issues we don't agree with him. Sheikhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, we take his name with respect, everything. But on many issues, we won't agree with him because, well, haqqu haqqu ayyuttaba. You must follow the truth, not follow people blindly. You must understand what is tafaqquh fi deen, that you must understand what is following Islam. You see that for Salafi, he came now, big shot. In 1 minute, I finish him up. Circumcised him, everything. He can't speak anything.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's go to overseas, Ustad. Respected Mufti Sahab, can you pray two rakats of Nafil Salah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his honorable wife and children and other Sahaba? And can you also fast on their behalf? What niyat should one make, Ustad?
Remember, brother, this is 2-3 part question. Every ibadat we do, you're not doing for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're not doing for the Sahaba. You're not doing for the awliyaullah. The ibadat you are doing is for Almighty Allah. Get that straight. Qul inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. My salat, my bodily ibadat, wa nusuki, my sacrifice, my financial ibadat, zakat and charity and all. So my life, my death, everything is for Almighty Allah. So that's first rectification. So you must say, I'm praying to Almighty Allah. I'm fasting for Almighty Allah. Then in Nafil Ibadat, you're reading Ishraq Salat, you're reading Salatul Duha now, for example, if there's still time, or after Zuhur Salat, today is Wednesday, du'as are accepted. Even Sheikh Albani said it's a Sahih Hadith, an authentic Hadith. So the point I'm making is, so in Nafil Ibadat, like Salat, Thursday tomorrow you're fasting, it's Sunnah fast, Nafil fast, so remember you transfer the reward to Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to Sahaba, to all the people who died with Iman, to all the people who have Iman now, to all the people to come and they have Iman, they all will get the reward. But you must remember these 2-3 points that I mentioned in the beginning. We pray and do the actions for who? not for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Sahaba or awliya, for Allah Ta'ala. But the reward of it, that we transfer. So there's a big difference between the two.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Let's go to Mauritius, Ustad. It's a sister. She says, I just wanted to know with regards to hair removal from the face. Can a woman remove hair from the sides of the face or from the entire face except the eyebrows, of course, Ustad?
Remember, the entire face, the lady can remove the hair. For example, some ladies, they develop like a moustache, or for example, like a little beard, mini beard, or they got hair, facial hair on their cheek or jawbone, beard, you know. So all that. But remember, when it comes to the eyebrows and all these things there, then no trimming and plucking and all that. لَأَنَّ اللَّهُ النَّامِسَ وَالْمُتَنَمِّسَ. Authentic hadith, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the ladies who trim and shape all this, the eyebrows, and the one who does it, upon whom is done, all are cursed by Almighty Allah. So that is haram. But the remaining portion of the face, all permissible, no problem. But don't make mistake now that we are speaking about the hair on the face. We're not speaking the hair you got on your head. That to cut your hair, all that, not permissible.
Somebody says, Ustaz, will one lose one's iman if one celebrates one's birthday, or we celebrate Christmas, it's around the corner, Ustad?
So if a person starts celebrating Christmas, New Year, obviously you'll be out of the fold of Islam. You're celebrating, you must remember the Christian celebration, and Jesus was born on 25th December, which is a big fat lie. You ask any non-Muslim, any Christian, where's the proof for it? You must always use this proof, all of you Muslims, because Muslims are three-quarter fast asleep also, you know. So write this date down, 1647, the Puritan Parliament of Britain, they ban Christmas celebrations. Britain's Parliament, they call Puritan Parliament, they said there's no such thing as Christmas, it's all nonsense. They called it a pagan practice, you see. So that's exactly what we are saying. Now imagine you going there and you say you're celebrating Christmas, so you're celebrating Jesus, the Son of God, and remember he was born on this, 100% kufr it is. You go right out of the fold of Islam. So Allah, we can't even observe it and see it and so forth. Ijtanibu a'ada Allahi fi idihim. Stay far, far away from the enemies of Allah during their festivals and during their celebrations. The fatwa of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and written in Bayhaqi. So we must be clear on all these issues. But we won't say if you celebrate a birthday you're a non-Muslim or so. We will say in that case there that you are a fasik, you're a major sinner and so forth. Because in Islam there's no such thing as birthday. It's all self-engrandisement to make ourselves feel important, you know. That Baji, that Kala, 60, 70, 80 years old, they said Kala blew. That 70 candles, she blew 7 candles and then heart attack, you see. Baji blew, you understand, 7 candles and after that he collapsed. So all shaitaniyat, you must remember this. And all that money spent and all that is what? So is tabzir. Surah 17, verse 27. Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayatin. That you become the brothers of Satan because of your extravagance and wasting all this money.
I see Ma from Newcastle says, Beta, my leg is already in a cover. I'm already going to hit 80. Ustad.
Ah, Kala, quickly, let me give you the programs. So, inshallah, today is Wednesday, right? So, a week today, next week, Wednesday, Asr time, inshallah, inshallah, Al-Aziz. All goes well. We will be there in Freyhid Madrasa Islamiyah Ibrahimiyah. Our the late Hazrat Maulana Ismail Katrada Rahimahullah, his madrasa. So we'll give a talk there to the students. And then Maghrib, we will be there in Masjid Abi Huraira. There's a program there after Maghrib. And you want more details, contact Maulana Masihullah Katrada, Hafiz Salih Katrada. And that will be Wednesday night. Then Thursday, we go to Denauza. After Zohor, there will be a program there in the Masjid, a very short program, 15 minutes maximum. And then after Maghrib, the program, main program, is a Hifz Jalsa. Three youngsters, mashallah, completed Hifz there. and that it will be Thursday night. And then Friday Jummah will be in Dundee, and then Friday after Asr, Friday after Maghrib. So we will be in Masjid Siddiq, there in Paradise in Newcastle, the next week Friday, not this Friday, next week Friday. And Saturday, Sunday, the Darulum Newcastle Jalsa, inshallah, will be there. You know, Darulum is 50 years old, so Allah Ta'ala protect our Darulums, Allah Ta'ala protect the Tabligh Jamaat and all our madrasas and masajid from all the enemies. When kulli see in London what happened, UK. That the second oldest Darulum had to close down. See, this is what the enemies do. You must remember that. They will look for every loophole to cause problems for us and so forth. Why? Hasadam min indi anfusihim. They burn with jealousy and envy.
Ustaz, we've got about a minute left. Somebody says, I was living with my mother-in-law and husband, say for a year or so. My mother-in-law expects my husband to buy groceries, etc., in such that my husband only pays for my medical aid. He doesn't financially support me, Ustad.
So remember that, that's totally wrong. So remember, in a case like this, he must rather move separate, and in that way there, you and your mother-in-law, you will always have problems, and you have a small place, even a flat or an outbuilding, he pay rental, and he must then pay the roti, kapra, makan, he must pay for all the expenses, and he can't be expunging of you. You is no, nothing you have to pay for. But it seems like he's making you pay, so that is haram and not permissible. Okay, we finish with today's program, alhamdulillah. So may Almighty Allah accept us all and make it easy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.